Welcome to the Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast, brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Rail Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Rail and Intermodal, Todd Tranowski. As Todd presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading a PDF or PowerPoint version of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads of the Rail Market Update, as well as the weekly Trucking Market Update with Avery Weiss and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. As always, I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for joining us this week. Hopefully everybody had a great July 4th holiday and is getting back into the swing of things this week. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us this week and every week to hear about the state of the rail transportation markets and see where volumes are as we get into the dog days of summer. We get into the doldrums. We're almost at the All-Star break. For those of you who are baseball fans, it's almost that time. We're almost halfway through the summer. We just celebrated the 4th of July. It's time to start thinking seriously about the second half, thinking about the fall, thinking about what the outlook looks like for the third quarter and the fourth quarter as we start to go to the end of the year, start to come down that stretch. What is it going to look like for folks? Well, as we do, I want to take a moment to remind everybody to take some time out of their schedule in September, September 13th to the 17th, and join us at the Crown Plaza Union Station in downtown Indianapolis for the FTR Transportation Conference. It'll look a little bit different this year, but it'll be the same great content. It'll be truck freight, truck equipment. We'll have their own days on Monday and Tuesday that week, and then the focus will shift to rail. We'll have rail freight on Wednesday. We'll have rail equipment on Thursday. And on Friday, we'll have a very special discussion. We have an extra bonus day this year, sort of as a partnership with the guys from Railroad Financial. As many of you know, back in March, they were not able to gather in Palm Springs at the La Quinta Resort that I know a lot of us look forward to every year. We weren't able to do that this year. So the Railroad Financial folks are going to come and do Friday and try to give people a mid-year update, try to give people some of that sense of the content they missed because they weren't able to go to Palm Springs. What does that look like now as we get to the midpoint of your talk about both rail equipment as well as locomotive valuations, talk about where the markets are and what that means for those valuations. If you're in that rail equipment, rail finance market, you definitely want to make some time Thursday and Friday and Wednesday as well for the rail freight side to really get a handle, really understand what it is that's going on out in the rail markets. We'll provide a full comprehensive look at things. It'll be well worth your time. Again, that's September 13th to the 17th at the Crown Plaza Union Station in downtown Indianapolis. And now, as we jump into this week, well, carload and intermodal volumes overall held fairly steady in the week prior to July 4th. Now, remember, this data goes through July the 3rd, and so this data does not have an impact, a significant impact, from the July 4th holiday. With the holiday falling on Sunday, most businesses took Monday off. Most businesses, it'll show up in this week's data. The current week that we're in right now, it won't necessarily show up in last week's data. If the holiday was on a Saturday, then it would, because a lot of people would take Friday off. But because of the timing of the holiday, the volumes really weren't affected in the latest week's data that we're going to go through the 3rd of July. Most companies, if they were going to take the holiday, took it this week, not last week. Now, certainly that's what we did at FTR. I know what many of you did as well. And even though volumes are steady, service remains a nagging issue for many shippers. It remains a talking point around the water coolers of the industry about what service is going to look like as we get through the balance of the year, particularly if we see an increase in volumes, particularly if we see a true peak season, if we see a harvest come in, if we see some things come in that we need to move, we see a freight to get moved, which there's certainly demand for today. Imports remain at very strong levels. The only port complex that showed a decline in volumes in May, the most recent month for which we have complete data, was Northern California. And Northern California's issues with congestion and with ocean liners skipping the port because of that congestion were well documented in the media. So it's no surprise then that Northern California might be a little weaker than other places, and that volume across the board, with that lone exception, continues to move higher. There continues to be demand in the system for goods. And so you would expect as we go forward to see that reflected in stronger volumes. Intermodal volumes continue to show a strong story. You continue to run at a very strong level, just south of 370,000 carloads a week. That is 25,000 carloads a week above the five-year average. It is a very strong level. It's nothing to shake a stick at. The trailer market had shown a little bit of a decline over the last few weeks. It has ticked back up. It's essentially right at 23,000 carloads a week, right at its five-year average. So we're right back to those five-year average levels. We're not quite growing the way we were. We're not quite back to 25,000 carloads a week, but we're certainly holding with our five-year average, certainly a respectable performance, more than respectable performance for the trailer market. On the container side, they continue to hold the high ground. They continue to run at very strong levels, as you would expect. With overall intermodal performing well, you would expect containers to perform well. That's exactly what we're seeing when we look at these numbers. As we go forward, as we look at things forward in time, you know, what are we looking for? Well, intermodal is going to continue to run at the fore. They're going to continue to run stronger than what we've seen in the carload markets. They're going to continue to run hard. They're going to continue to hold that high ground because there's such demand in the system. When you look at the import numbers, it's almost boggling that we've had sustained import levels where they are for as long as we have, and it doesn't show any signs of abating. As you look further down the supply chain, there really isn't a sign yet that the spigot has turned off. And so as we head toward the peak season, as we head toward the holiday shopping season, it is going to be a push to get things moved. It's going to be looking for capacity wherever you can find it, particularly with there still being congestion in the system, with there still being issues getting good order chassis in some places, with there still being issues getting containers quickly through intermodal terminals and port complexes. It's going to be a tough couple of months if demand stays high, and we see no reason that demand is not going to stay high. Shifting gears into the carload markets, overall, carload is really just holding its own. We've held here now for the last, really, 2 months, right around 330,000, 335,000 carloads a week within that range, give or take 1,000 or two carloads. We've held that very steady. It's been different groups each week, by and large, with a few exceptions. But as we'll go through here, you'll see some of those have come down, some of those have come up. But on the whole, it's been a pretty steady picture, been a pretty stable picture on an overall carload basis. Economically sensitive freight is a good microcosm, if you will, of what I was talking about, where it's different groups every week. You look at economically sensitive freight, yeah, it sort of held this level and then it declined a little bit. And now in the last 2 weeks, we've seen an uptick again, back to our five-year average level, because there are different commodity groups driving the surge. About a month ago, we had coal really come to the forefront as metallurgical exports picked up, as utility restocking demand picked up. Now that has waned. It's more of a flattish posture. And so you've had other things come back to the fore to try and push things higher. And so on an overall carload basis, you've had things essentially be flat, because even as economically sensitive freights moved around, other things, sometimes bulk commodities, have stepped up into that void and have stepped into the void. So even as it flattens out, as metals continues to run at a strong level, as grain continues to come down off of its highs, you have sort of a give and take among the commodity groups. Now, economically sensitive freight is a little bit different. For those of you who aren't familiar with FTR, who don't listen to this podcast every week, when we talk about economically sensitive freight, we pull out the coal, we pull out the ag, and we pull out the petroleum. We look at just those sectors that are more closely tied to the underlying economy. Things like lumber and wood, things like metals, things like automotive, where you really get that sense of what is the economically derived demand, what is you know, the investment appetite for businesses and industrial production and manufacturing. What is the consumer's buying power? How does that translate through the economy and through into the freight markets? Shifting gears, talking about those bulk markets, you can see what I was talking about as it relates to coal. We had that run-up about 6-8 weeks ago, and now it's basically leveled off, right about 75,000 carloads a week. And we think this is about the ceiling. We think, given where metallurgical coal exports are, given the level of electricity generation demand, given natural gas prices, we don't see this number materially moving much higher from where it is right now. On the other, a major bulk commodity, grain, we had been running very, very strong, and it has come down. We have definitely come off pretty steadily and pretty dramatically, really, over the last couple of months. It's the line no business major ever wants to see, down and to the right at a pretty decent slope. That slope has held pretty constant over the last month or so, and we're still, though, essentially in line with our five-year average. We're not right exactly at it, but we're within 500, 700 carloads of it. So we're certainly within spitting distance of the five-year average yet. We'll have to see as we go forward in the summer where it shakes out, where we get to. Do we go below it before the harvest kicks in over the next, call it 2 to 3 months? Personally, I don't think we're going to get too far below the five-year average, but time will tell. I've been wrong before. Chemicals traffic is certainly one of those I've been wrong before on in terms of sectors. I thought it was going to run right at that 48,000 carload a week level pretty much straight through the summer. And as those of you who listen all the time know, look at the graph, can tell over the last 6 weeks, it's really declined. And we're down below 46,000 carloads a week. We got a little bit of a bump in the four-week average number just in the latest week. And I will tell you that that's all in the latest week. That's all that bump is entirely of a dramatic volume gain in the latest week before the holiday. We'll have to see if that sticks, particularly with the holiday week this week. We'll have to see. But we're probably going to hold for the next couple of weeks at least, right around 46,000 carloads a week. But we would expect over time to get back to 48,000 carload a week level. Because as we've talked about before, chemicals traffic missed an awful lot of time in February and March after the Gulf Coast had its freeze, and they're going to want to make up that production. I don't think that thesis has fundamentally changed. I think we will get back there. I'm not quite sure what the latest hiccup was about, but I do think we'll get back to those 48,000 carload a week levels sooner rather than later. On the petroleum products side, really, again, not a lot to talk about here. Things have been very, very stable for the last 2 months. Even as the crude price has risen, it's really stayed very, very steady. There was a good article out in the mainstream press over the last week about how drillers in the space are being more capital conscious, more capital disciplined than they have been in the past. And that's meant it's taken longer for production to come back online, even as we've gotten back to $74, $75 a barrel crude. That additional production has not come back online. Are we starting to see it? The latest Baker Hughes rig count number that came out last Friday, July 2nd, before the holiday, said that we sequentially went up 5 rigs. That's the most we've gone up sequentially in over a month. Maybe that's a sign that more wells are going to come online and you're going to see additional movements. You're going to see additional demand in the marketplace, but it's 1 week at the moment. And we'll have to see if it endures. If it endures, particularly beyond the next couple of weeks, once we get through the holiday, where do we stand? Where are we on drilling rigs? Have we actually materially maintained that pace, or are we sort of back to a flattish posture where we were? By the end of the month, we should have a very good sense for where that stands. Stone, sand, and gravel, really pretty steady here. You see a little bit of an increase in the last couple of weeks. Ultimately, we're still range-bound. We're still trading back and forth right around 25,000 carloads a week without any real momentum in either direction. We're still a good 4,000 carloads a week below our five-year average. We're not really showing signs that we're going to make a run at the five-year average. We're just sort of hanging out right around 25,000 carloads a week. Lumber and wood. Lumber's been one of those sectors. It took a while to ramp up. It certainly did as we get into April. We get into the meat of the construction season in the second quarter. It is starting to wane. It is starting to work its way down. We are coming off, certainly, of our highs. We are essentially, again, very close to our five-year average. We'll have to see as we go forward what that means, where does that go. But if you look at the flatbed truck markets, if you look at some other indicators, it's possible we're past the housing peak. We'll have to see. We need more data to verify that. But it's certainly possible. It's certainly one of the possible solutions when you look at this slide and try to figure out what's driving the decline in lumber and wood. That's certainly one possible explanation. Pulp and paper volumes, the other side of the forest products coin, showed some strength in the last couple of months. That strength has started to slowly peter out, and we're really back to our five-year average levels for pulp and paper. Now, that's a good sign considering where we've been over the last year, where we really haven't smelled the five-year average in any meaningful way except for the immediate run-out after the storms in February and March. But it's still five-year average levels. It's the definition of average. We're not gaining from it, and we're also not shedding ground. We're just sort of treading water, if you will, right around that five-year average number. Automotive volumes continue to be very stable, right around 20,000 carloads a week. And this is something that, you know, is going to be there for a while. Until the parts situation, the semiconductor situation, the rubber situation, the resin situation gets resolved, you're not going to see this really materially move from this level. You will know when it does, because when it does, it will probably do so dramatically. When you look at automotive inventories, when you look at automotive sales, there's pent-up demand there. There's a need to restock inventory. There are certainly demand drivers in this space, but the producers cannot get the materials they need to produce the product. And so you're in guessing the timing of this and trying to forecast when this is going to turn around, when this is going to increase. You're no longer looking at fundamentals of supply and demand. You're looking at when are the supply chain hiccups going to work themselves out? That's the question you're really trying to solve here. And I've heard everything from this month to next year. So place your bets. You know, place your bets for when it will come back. But when it does, it will come back with a vengeance. Now, you may be a little bit confused if you look at this number and you also look at FTR's freight rail recovery indexes on our coronavirus page on our website. You will see automotive and a lot of carload sectors show dramatic increases in the latest week. What you're seeing in the indexes is really a function of this being a slow seasonal period. Right before the July 4th holiday, things tend to ramp down, particularly in automotive. You start to have 2-week shutdowns for retooling of plants, for bringing in the new model year units. You start to have that natural slowdown. And so even though volumes are at low levels, they're very strong levels seasonally, because you're not seeing a further decline for those shutdowns. And so when you look at it against what you would seasonally expect, it makes those indexes look a lot better than the absolute values do, than the smooth 4-week average numbers look like. And so you have to keep that in mind when you're looking at data. If you see the disconnect, that's why you see the disconnect. You're comparing against a seasonally slow period right around the 4th of July holiday. So to wrap up, some key takeaways. Intermodal and carload are definitely running at strong levels. They're running at levels that folks in those industries would definitely take, given what folks have been through, given what folks have seen over the last couple of years. And we'll just have to see as we go forward, when the service issues abate, when you start to get a free flow of parts in some sectors, and what that does to overall capacity, not just in the rail side, but also in the truck side, also in the intermodal side, as we work toward the peak season. Because volumes should, all things being equal, go up over the next 60 days. We'll just have to see how dramatically, what order of magnitude it is that occurs. And with that, as always, I am your host, Todd Chernowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us this week. Feel free to reach out to myself or any member of the FTR team if we can be of assistance. Always love to hear from folks in the industry, hear what they're seeing in the marketplace. You want to discuss what you're seeing, what you're hearing in the podcast, what you're seeing in our reports. feel free to reach out anytime. Always happy to talk. And with that, have a great week. We look forward to seeing you again next week, right back for another edition of the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update Podcast. Thank you and have a great week.
That's it for this week's Rail Market Update on the State of Freight Podcast. The Rail Market Update will be published each week along with a downloadable PDF of the presentation. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on your podcast platform of choice and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.